From the Rio Grande to the Sabine and the Canadian to the San Antonio. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, how did one of the five wealthiest countries quickly dive into an economic chasm? Well, by following Democrat and Robert Francis Beto Pancho O'Rourke ideas on energy, and it's what they're pushing right here in Texas, even though we're an energy-dominant state. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions and truckers and fleet owners. Allied Compliance Services is your go-to firm to deal with that clearinghouse at the DOT and all your annual testing and, you know, sample collection requirements and all of that stuff. Just get in touch with them. Great people. AlliedCompliance.com. Cornyn's gun control bill, his so-called compromise with those on the left who really never compromise, has him hugely underwater with Texas Republicans. And I find it hilarious, the polling that's out today, because I understand why they did the polling. If you'll recall, just before the primary, Cornyn mouthed off against Attorney General Paxton. Well, so in polling on all this stuff, on the gun control stuff, they also included a matchup between Cornyn, if Cornyn were up for re-election today, a matchup between Cornyn and AG Ken Paxton. And oh my gosh, Paxton, with Republicans who actually vote in the Republican primary, voted in it this year. Paxton just waxes him. It's pretty funny, and it's really funny they just thought to ask that question. And by the way, don't kid yourself. For example, on WFAA's app for the phone, and I've seen this in other places, even though we're way past the primary runoff, if you scroll down to the bottom when you're looking at a bunch of stories, that's the story they still have there about Cornyn basically disparaging Paxton. They've kept it up there so that you keep seeing it. This is pretty good stuff out of the political and campaign stack. A lot of other things to get to. Listen to the show, Pratt on Texas, anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is a great day to be a Texan, my friends. The big national news out of Texas today involved the Jill Biden, the wife, and I, you know, maybe push her to keep him going so she can be first lady. I don't know, but what she said about Latinos and the stories are everywhere. Then midday today, it was Jill Biden apologizes for saying Latinos unique as tacos, and she was giving a speech in she came to San Antonio, and they were all excited about it. Oh, boy, the liberal media in San Antonio, all excited. Then she gets there and does a typical Biden thing, and in this modern PC world, says something in a way that made everybody mad. She was there addressing the racists, the National Council of La Raza, which has changed its name from The Race, National Council of the Race, to Unidos USA. United U.S., which they're racist. I mean, their name is racist. They and by the way, they claim an ethnicity is a race, which is kind of silly. So she goes to address their fellow far left racists that are seem to make up a lot of the Democratic Party. All these groups that see the world based on your what kind of sex you have or prefer or your race or your ethnicity. Yeah, it fits, since they were the party of slavery, the party of Jim Crow, the party of enforcing Jim Crow, the party of whites-only Democrat primaries. I mean, it fits. So she goes to San Antonio, and she's talking about them, calling them Latinks and all that, which, of course, all the polls of these people, nobody but these far-lefty little activists and some people at universities that are in any way Latino or Hispanic ethnicity even accept this term Latinks. And she gets up there and has this flowery thing some speechwriter wrote about, diverse as this and as beautiful, as distinct as Latino diversity, you know, because everything's about diversity, even though, of course, it's funny, you're talking about a group. You've made a group. You've labeled it a group, but, of course, it's diverse. That they're as distinct as the bodegas of the Bronx, and apparently she mispronounced bodegas, too. Doesn't even know. It means warehouse, sort of, in Spanish. And anyway, distinct as the bodegas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio. Now, most of you expect me to make fun of Jill Biden on this. Look, to me, the part that's despicable is going to address a group that's based in racial division, La Raza, number one, okay? And I'm actually going to defend her a little bit. National Association, I know the Republicans are crowing on this, and I get it. If I were a Republican strategist doing this stuff, I would have been right on this. National Association of Hispanic Journalists and a whole bunch of others immediately took offense and we are not tacos. Using breakfast tacos to try to demonstrate the uniqueness of Latinos in San Antonio demonstrates a lack of cultural knowledge and sensitivity to the diversity of Latinos in the region, that group said. And Congressman Jimenez of Florida, South Florida, and Florida 26, he had it really good. He was good. The First Lady thinks Hispanics are as unique as breakfast tacos. Maybe that's true of Latinx people, but for real Hispanics, that's actually kind of insulting. And I get it. I just want to say something. Would you people get over being offended by everything all the time? I just don't understand it. Given the context, she's just talking about beautiful ethnic things that are diverse. And I love your cultural knowledge. The journalist, Hispanic, said that demonstrates a lack of cultural knowledge and sensitivity. What are you talking about? I've been watching for 20 years as the press, including the lefty alternative press, runs nothing but constant stories comparing the tacos of San Antonio versus Austin and who is better, and bragging and writing long, long weekend feature pieces about the breakfast taco diversity and how incredible. In other words, actually, whoever wrote that probably was familiar with the local ethnic bragging in San Antonio that the breakfast tacos thing is something they're extraordinarily proud of in their community and represents something beautiful and wonderful and is diverse. So, yeah, they flubbed. I mean, you should have known as a speechwriter, but the real problem is how everybody just knee-jerks and gets up. Well, she's calling us tacos. Like, you know, as in, oh, you're Latino, thus you eat tacos, thus it's an ethnic stereotype. Well, it is an ethnic stereotype, but it's a proper one because, yes, tacos, it's a Spanish word, comes from the... I mean, it's just not... I don't get it. I think the bigger problem here is everybody always being offended by every little thing, because the actual phrases she used in that sentence weren't terrible. As distinct as the bodegas of the Bronx, meaning that's a whole nother kind of, they're Hispanics and Latinos, but it's the AOC and the Puerto Rican cultures and all the others. And then she goes to another big jump, you know, Miami, South Florida, the Cuban influence, the blossoms, and then the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio. And again, it's actually something they've bragged about for years and done all kinds of stories. I think even Texas Liberal Monthly has done stories on comparing the tacos in Houston versus Austin. And you see what I mean? I don't really think she said anything that terrible. I get why everybody jumped on it, because the Hispanics jumped on it right away, a bunch of them that aren't even conservative. So, yeah, Republicans piled on. I don't think much of Jill Biden, but I do think this is a perfect example of how just sick our society is. Everybody's offended all the time. Every old comedy, everything makes fun of farmers. I come from a farm family. You know, it's a multi-million-dollar business with millions of dollars in capital and, you know, hundreds of thousands of cash flow. But they make fun of farmers. We don't run around saying, oh, my God, they make fun of farmers. It's just silly. Get over yourselves.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Front on Texas will be right back after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2-ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks. Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks, specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life, Health, Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, lovers of Texas and of liberty, it's time for the show that celebrates the spirit of Alamo. Here's your Texan-in-Chief, Texas political swami, the man bad politicians hate and the good call friend. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Representative Burroughs, chairman of this House serious committee that's been investigating the massacre at the Uvalde Elementary School, has told the media that they're going to release a preliminary report and show that 77-minute video from inside the school to the families first. And this is the way it should be done. And I believe the committee, from what I've been told over the weekend, is going to take questions and deal privately, without the press, the way it should be done, what they found, so people kind of are all on the same step. Now, unfortunately, if that state senator, Rolando Gutierrez, gets in there, who the hell knows what people will be thinking? I mean, this guy's a... As one person said a couple of times, what a piece of work. I mean, he's a nut. But anyway, that's what they're going to do, and then they'll make this stuff public, and I don't know how they're going to do that. I hope they don't just drop it out there for the press to reframe and control the narrative of. They're going to go to the families first. One of our great listeners pointed out yesterday on the Facebook during the show that there was a big boom at Boca Chica. Well, that's why they do pressure tests and do tests. And sure enough, SpaceX was doing a big test on prototype number 7. It's a tank test. That's what it is. And maybe sometimes you pressurize to failure so you know the real part instead of relying on a computer model that if the underlying data's bad, would be bad. But who knows? We don't really know what happened. Big explosion there. A reporter for the McAllen Monitor and the Brownsville Herald was way out 7 miles out on a boat. They felt it and heard it. You can watch all those long-distance cameras if you go watch all the YouTube deals when the shockwave hits them and they jiggle. Musk, in his typical sense, tweeted, "Yeah, actually not good. Team is assessing damage." Didn't see anything, you know, loud out. I mean, outside blow up and shed debris, but there was obviously an explosion. There was a blast wave. So that's why you test. A lot of people heard it. A lot of people's homes were shaking. Be cool. And that murderer who escaped from the facility up in Vernon, the North Texas State Hospital, Alexander Irvin, 29, Austin police, I think, got him yesterday evening or something like that. He was he's going to stay in Austin until they figure out if he can even stand trial for the escape. Of course, he's already in there because murdered his father and insanity police. But they did get him. He went back down towards Austin. Fugitive who threatened, now this is what modern Democrats get you. Fugitive who threatened Cruz, Senator Cruz, with bullet to the face, paid zero for personal bond in Harris County. This is what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, with the Democrat bail reform everywhere. And Democrat judges. Holly Hansen, our great friend writing at the Texan.news, says that the charging documents in 26 June, Isaac Ambe Formangum, age 22, allegedly called Senator Cruz Houston office and about legislation regarding elections and voting rights. Transcript of the call said, he said, "Every last one of your Republican colleagues have signed off on that platform is to be found and is to be found and killed, be it by a bullet to the face or by the smashing of a brick in your skull. It is a civic duty of every American citizen or resident to see to it that every last one of your colleagues is to be killed. be it by finding you in a public space or by trailing you to your very public homes, end quote. You and every one of your colleagues will be shot. And this is what they're doing over these. You know, there's a group in D.C., big leftist known group, paying cash rewards for every time you report where one of the Supreme Court justices is out in public. You know, if when you get leftists in this, it doesn't cover the front page of all the major papers, does it? That this is how liberals, Democrats, and leftists are. Oh, no, no, no. But if some nutcase guy that's not even connected to Republican politics at all, but once visited a website that group of hokum producers at the Southern Poverty Law Center comes out and says is a right-wing group, of course, that's talked about constantly. So let's get into the details of what this bail reform's doing. Following Holly writes at the Texan, .news, it's not .com, it's .news, thetexan.news. Following an investigation conducted by Harris County Sheriff's deputies, the DA's office filed charges against this Formangum of making a felony-level terroristic threat, and he was taken into custody on 2 July. Although the Harris County DA's office motioned for his bond to be set at $250,000 on 3 July, magistrate, that's a judge, Cheryl Harris Diggs, for the 177th Criminal District Court, ordered him released on a pretrial personal bond. In other words, a PR bond, personal recognizance bond of $2,500. Wait, you said zero. Well, listen up. Under the conditions of pretrial personal bonds, however, defendants may be released without posting bail or paying fees. So what's happening in Harris County, the state's largest county? You wonder why crime rates are out of control everywhere? Well, all these, because, you know, what is it? It's in the 90 percentile or upper 80s that all crimes are committed by people who are already doing crimes. It's recidivism. It's what makes the crime rate spike. You've let all these people out. Under the conditions of the pretrial personal bonds, however, defendants may be released without posting bail or paying fees. The court coordinator for the 177th court confirmed to the Texan that Formangum did not have to pay anything for his release from the jail system.
This is a guy that should have had to pay. They said, well, they sit in jail and they don't, you know,
well, he didn't show up for his court hearing either. That's right. He had no stake in it. That's why we require people to pay bail. So they have a stake in showing up. He didn't show up on the 8th of July. And the DA motioned for bond forfeiture and authorities issued a warrant for his arrest. Of course, the forfeiture, you get it, it gets what you get, zero, because he didn't have to put up any. If he's recaptured, he's slated to be held without bond, but he hadn't been taken into custody yet. According to the Harris County DA's records, this guy's financial statement documents requesting a court-appointed attorney. So, in other words, he's claiming poverty, but he works. He's employed as, get this, a security guard with Dallas-based Idian Security Associates. $0 for that. That kind of quote from any. I mean, they can be so far removed from any actual Republican anything that it's hard to even link them, but the mainstream press, the TV, and everybody will do that for just about anybody out there and play this stuff over and over. You never even hear this stuff about these kind of people. Man, I've got so much. Let's get to a look at today in Texas history. In 1917, on the 12th of July, the Central Texas celebrated Mebane Day in honor of Alexander Mebane. Mebane crossbred cotton to create the hardy high-yield Mebane Triumph cottonseed. It was very important hybrid in growing cotton in this part of the world. In 1943, in Houston, Baylor College of Medicine opened up in a former Sears and Roebuck store. In 2016, in Dallas, President Obama and former President W. attended a memorial service for the 5 murdered police officers that were killed on July 7th during that protest march in downtown Dallas. And for you history lovers, July 12th, 1870, that's the day Chief Kicking Bird quit after fighting McClellan at the Little Wichita River. That's right. Battle of the Little Wichita River. Captain McClellan and a force of 55 troopers of the 6th Cavalry attacked the camp of Kiowa Indians under Chief Kicking Bird. They'd crossed the Red River into Texas and terrorized white settlers across Wichita, Archer, Young, and Jack counties. McClellan caught up with them on the Little Wichita River in what's now Archer County. Realized he is outnumbered 2-1 and that the Indians were equipped with Spencer rifles, superior to his equipment. His men were attacked from all sides. 3 died during a retreat after cowboys from the Terrell Ranch and 20 troopers, in other words, armed citizens, and 20 troopers reinforced McClellan. Kicking Bird broke off the engagement In his report, McClellan praised Kicking Bird's generalship, called for larger forces to protect the frontier. It was the last time Chief Kicking Bird was ever involved in hostilities. He dedicated the rest of his life to establishing better relations between the Kiowas and the new settlers, my friends. Today in Texas History, The Look at It, sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations, providing witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, security, surveillance, and much more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. My friends, we'll be back with more Pratt on Texas in a moment.
Patience is a virtue. Pratt on Texas continues after this.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver. And the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Now a man once declared a registered dead conservative by Rush Limbaugh. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Our Lone Star story of the day. How did one of the five wealthiest countries quickly dive into an economic chasm? By following the Beto Poncho and Democrat ideas on energy. The Biden administration ideas on energy. Now, we avoided any blackouts yesterday and we're on very thin reserves because we've got too much so-called renewable. None of the, that's a really terrible use of language because none of those things are renewable. And by the way, all energy remains energy. It just changes state. But we've got too much wind and solar, and particularly the wind right now on the grid. It wasn't blowing, and that's a big ratio of the installed capacity for the grid, and it's not good. Now, Beto Poncho, the fake Hispanic, Robert Francis O'Rourke, vows to connect Texas power grid to rest of nation during San Antonio campaign stop, which, by the way, was hosted by some kind of YouTube star who's grew up in some small town in Texas who's, I don't know, wearing high heels and every kind of a, well, it says, I looked it up, some homosexual and all that, but dressing like a woman and everything. That's who was moderating and hosting the O'Rourke's little stop. Yeah, Eugene Lee Yang, supposed activist and native, Texas native, and making a film. And it's just, you know, it's just one of these way out wacko lefty disaffected people. That's the host of his deal. And of course, the similarly described San Antonio Current wrote a story about Beto wanting to connect the grid to the nation. You know, this is an example of just the absolute ignorance. The entire country is facing this exact problem. There are stories about it in the business press and in other press all the time. There's nothing to be gained at all, because then you get locked into the Biden policies and things completely. The actual fact is the national grid has the same problem. We don't build real power plants anymore that can spin up because of all the pressures from the feds and various states and stuff on not wanting power plants that actually can produce power on demand. The anti-fossil fuel movement. Well, that brings me to the Lone Star story of the day. You go with these Democrats, you become like Germany, the world's great manufacturing powerhouse. Stephen Moore, great writer at the Washington Examiner, has a piece out. Remember how the world, especially the American media, fawned over former German Chancellor Angela Merkel? I always thought it was because she kind of looked like Hillary in pantsuits and all the ugly babes in the press out there or something like it. When that kind of woman comes to power, they're really always suspect of the, you know, like you get up and is it Finland that's got the really super hot female prime minister, and Sweden, some of the Scandinavian countries. I think the liberal press, even if those people are lefties, they don't like them because there's so many of these feminists, as Rush, the way Rush used to talk about them. I've always, Angela Merkel was always an interesting character to me because even from the left side post-World War II, there had been some just powerful German leaders, you know, West Germany and then the reunited Germany. And yet this woman who's frankly been kept power a long time, but really not a good leader of the German state, is real popular. So anyway, he says, notice how they fawned over her. The adoration was so over the top in 2015. Time magazine actually named Merkel its person of the year. It described her as the Chancellor of the Free World. You remember that? No, but then again, most people who are younger don't even remember Time magazine. Time owes whatever readers it has left a solemn apology. Today, Germans are suffering the bitter fruits of nearly every major economic and geopolitical decision Merkel made as Chancellor. Start with the German economy she attempted to reset for the 21st century, which is reminiscent of how President Biden explains to inflation-weary voters that we're going through an incredible transition. Yeah, from being wealthy and on a healthy economy to being poor and poorer. That's the transition. That's what Democrats always bring you. Anyway, but Merkel's Germany was ahead of us in its transition. Today, the German economy is in tatters. A recent headline from Business Insider summarizes the chaos. German industries could collapse due to Russian natural gas supply cutbacks. The Daily Telegraph recently described Germany as the sick man of Europe. And folks, I know a lot of you don't pay attention, but that's beyond belief, because all through the Cold War and into the present, West Germany believed in strong monetary policy, and had the mark became the strongest currency, even over the victor in England by far, over the pound sterling. And never was Germany the sick man of Europe. Germany is always the economic powerhouse of Europe. So this is amazing. You've got the Daily Telegraph calling Germany the sick man of Europe. Things are getting so desperate, he writes, that the Germans are now considering rationing gasoline for their major, or natural gas for their major industries to keep the lights on. How did one of the five wealthiest countries in the world so quickly careen into this economic ditch? It was Merkel's vision of a new Germany. Merkel was the one who made the decision a decade ago to move Germany away from fossil fuels and nuclear power and instead, quote, go green, end quote. Her green energy crusade, which environmentalists heralded as a model for the world, has nearly bankrupted the German manufacturing economy until the entire solar and wind energy debacle was scuttled. That's right, it got so bad that they scuttled most of this. Sadly, Biden never got that memo, writes Stephen Moore. It was Merkel's decision, against the advice of then-President Trump, to build the Nord Stream pipeline. When Trump sagely warned in 2018 the Germans would rue the day they became overly reliant on Putin's energy in Russia, Merkel's administration openly, publicly scoffed. Putin isn't the only one getting rich from Merkel's blunders. She negotiated trade deals with China, blatantly undermining Trump's strategy of economically isolating the Beijing menace. She chose to align Germany with rogue and militaristic regimes in Russia, China, and Iran. This helped undermine NATO and Germany's post-World War II close ties to the U.S. She refused to pony up the 4% of GDP that Germany owed to NATO for Europe's defenses, and she bristled when Trump demanded it. Perhaps if the Germans and Europeans had heeded Trump's advice, the debacle of Ukraine wouldn't have happened. By the way, I think that's a legitimate thing to argue. The American media, during all this time that Merkel was steering Germany over a green energy cliff, took Merkel's side in her open dispute with Trump. Susan Glasser of the New Yorker snorted in 2018 that Trump had made war on Merkel in Europe, and the NATO countries were running out of patience with Trump. That statement's foolish today, given the collapse of the euro and the economic downturn throughout the continent. Even as an environmentalist, Europe's savior was a flop. Merkel hogtied German industries to expensive and unreliable, quote, renewable, end quote, energy by spurning natural gas and closing down nuke plants. The experiment failed miserably, and now Germany's vastly increasing its share of power that comes from burning coal. That's no strategy to stop climate change. Under Merkel's weak leadership, the euro was supposed to replace the dollar as the world currency soon. Instead, the euro's in currency collapse, even as the Russian ruble's now stronger. Merkelism can be summarized as a strategy of patronizing enemies and alienating allies. Now, with 2020 hindsight, it's clear the legacy of Merkelism's a chaotic world and diminished Germany. It turns out that peace through weakness is a failed national and economic security strategy. If Merkel was chancellor of the free world, why is it that today's world is not safer? It is not cleaner, it is not freer, and it is not a more prosperous place. Moore sums up, in short, every major decision she made regarding global affairs made the world more dangerous, less free, and less prosperous. Folks, that's why the Democrat media loved her. Because that's really what they want for all of us. Sorry, he finished. She was to Germany what Biden has been to the U.S., a complete and dismal failure. Let's hope we figure this out more quickly than the Germans did. And folks, this is exactly what Beto Pancho O'Rourke, Robert Francis O'Rourke, the fake Hispanic running for governor, all these Democrat office holders, almost every one of them, they all are deeply, deeply attached to this Europe, pan-European, led by Germany and a few others, green policy stuff. Oh, we can't keep the lights on, but we want you to all drive electric cars. Wait a minute, the grid can't even take you turning on a washing machine on some days. How are we going to charge all the cars? Oh, well, don't worry about that, because it's all utopian fantasy, folks. The problem is our poverty and pain is not fantasy. Back in a moment.
Frant returns after the break.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Plan to join me for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets will be on sale soon at LubbockSportsman.com.
Hey now, I'm Robert Campbell with Campbell Containers. Have you ever thought about incorporating a shipping container into a new barn or shop like the one we have here at Campbell Containers? Or maybe you just need some extra storage space at your home, farm, or deer lease. Stop by Campbell Containers and look at our inventory. We're on I-20 between Abilene and Clyde at the exit 297, or give me a call, 325-518-3309, or check us out at CampbellContainers.com.
It's true. Many of us spend more time thinking about what's for dinner than preparing for retirement. But if you think your retirement needs more attention, Mark Miller agrees and he'd like to help. He's with Edward Jones. Together, he'll give your long-term retirement strategy the attention it deserves. Stop by Edward Jones Financial Advisor Mark Miller's office at 3849 Oldham Lane in Abilene. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
No 30-on-6 or 30-on-7 signs here. Nope. Pratt on Texas welcomes true Texans with the tools that won and keep our liberty.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We move on to our big political stuff today. This is a lot of fun. There was a piece in the Texan.news by Hayden Sparks. Here's what's in Senator John Cornyn's gun control bill that divided Republicans. And it goes into all of that stuff. I don't want to reprogram it at all. It's just more federal spending and throwing. There's some gun control stuff in it that's awful. Even the NRA didn't like it. National Shooting Sports Association didn't like it overall and said it's anyway. And it throws huge amounts of monies at local governments and states. And despite Cornyn claiming it doesn't encourage red flag laws, it darn sure does. And he says, well, because if they adopt them, what it does is they use the money, they have to adhere to tight standards. Yeah, the standards you set. So the day that you don't have a vote and don't have a tied Senate, the Democrats are in control, the standards will be something else, Cornyn. How stupid of you. So you'll remember I talked about at the top of the show how Cornyn got involved in the primary runoff and said some real nasty things. You know, he's a former attorney general, too. Said some real, by the way, I didn't back him in that first race. I backed, I think his name was Williams. Williams or Williamson? Williams out of think, was he a railroad commissioner at the time, out of Midland, Odessa? Anyway, Cornyn got involved, tried to run Paxton down. So CWS Polling, this really good polling group that we've been getting stuff from, and it's been the Defend Texas Liberty has been paying for the polls, but the pollster themselves, I think, is really good. We'll see. They're a newer pollster, but their polls so far have looked really good throughout the this year and for the primaries and everything. They're cover piece today, their press release on the new polls they released. Paxton leads Cornyn by 20% new GOP primary poll. I think that's hilarious. Not only did they poll about the gun control stuff Cornyn brokered, they went, since he said the nasty stuff about Paxton, they asked the voters who they'd vote for. I want to go through these. These are pretty good. Now, by the way, these are pretty good polls. This one, 1,918 survey response, randomly selected from demographically proportioned. They're doing the proportion of voters right. I was looking on these polls where, you know, you get in who's being polled and the numbers and the demographics, it's right. I mean, you know, 55 to 64, 23%, 65 to 74, 24%, 75 or over 18%. That's because the vast majority of people who vote are over 55 years of age. They're doing a good job. It's 100% Republican primary voters. Everybody in here, 100% of them voted in the primary this year. 78% define themselves as Republicans, 22% as independents. And they ask, would you say you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of John Cornyn? Only 18% were very favorable, somewhat favorable 28%, somewhat unfavorable 22%, and very unfavorable 24%. So it's kind of a split. But then they go tell him about stuff in the issues in that poll, in what he brokered with Democrats. And oh my gosh, it changes. Instead of he's down to very favorable 15, somewhat favorable 21, somewhat. I mean, he's down to 36% on the plus side, favorable. Somewhat unfavorable, 24%, very unfavorable, 35%. Well, that's when people learn what he did, they don't like it. They ask if the primary elections were held today and the candidates for U.S. Senate were John Cornyn and Ken Paxton. Cornyn got 31%, Paxton 51%, an outright majority of Republican primary voters, and only 18% were undecided. But it wouldn't have mattered, the undecided. And so, I'm not going to go into all that on that Safe Communities whatever act that he brokered. But so, after they ask him a few questions, tell him what's in that act, and they supply the questions here. You know, it's 51% Paxton, 31% Cornyn. In a, you know, mythical matchup. After they heard it all, Cornyn drops to 28% and Paxton rises to 56%. Oh, it's hilarious. Oh. By the way, they ask if people think the governor should officially declare an invasion, use authority under the U.S. Constitution to secure the border. 85% of Republicans said yes. Only 10% said no and 5% unsure. And on this chemical castration and prescription drugs and stuff, or these sex changes for kids, do you believe the modifying of a gender or child is child abuse? 84% said yes, only 8% disagreed. And there's some other stuff in here. Again, they keep polling every month. The presidential primary, 45% are for Trump, 26% for DeSantis. If Trump doesn't run, it jumps to 56% for DeSantis. Of Texas Republicans, 12% for Ted Cruz, and poor Greg Abbott at 8%. So that's how it goes. He doesn't care. It's all about winning New Hampshire. That's why his chief political strategist claimed to fame as being the New Hampshire expert. They figure, well, we'll get Texas anyway later on if we're rolling. But that was funny. And then they had another poll they had out. Again, 100% Republican primary voters, 665 respondents selected demographically properly to match who really votes in the primary. 78% said they're Republican, 22% Democrat, independent, excuse me. No Democrats or other, obviously, because we're looking at a Republican voters poll. And after the shooting on the John Cornyn thing, The only thing people really like, the only 17% like these red flag laws, or 11% limit firearm ammunition capacity. Proposed no legislative changes, 14%. But you know what? 58% said they're for. Push it to end gun-free zones and let lawful individuals such as teachers and parents carry concealed on campus. That's it. 58% favor the only thing that will actually work. And they looked into 84% still support the death penalty. That's been changing in other demographics due to leftist propaganda. And E-Verify, 77% said they agree that we should have require E-Verify to prevent illegal aliens from unlawfully gaining employment. Only 11% disagreed, 12% were unsure. And it's just an interesting set of polls. I think the most hilarious part of this is how they asked this question and did this comparison to Paxton. Before telling you what's in and then ask about this deal that Cornyn brokered with the Democrats that's got some gun control light and some bad stuff in it, and basically, above all, is just really another big example of wasting our taxpayer money, the huge spending that money we don't have that we end up paying for in higher taxes that won't do anything to help anybody except lining people's pockets or on that government teat. But I think it's funny they ask about it, and then they ask the questions about, would you support it if it had this in it? Everything they had in it was what was in the Cornyn's bill. Support drops, and then they ask the question about him versus Ken Paxton again, and Paxton waxes him even more. But even before that, 51%. 51%. Paxton would win if this were a primary now for the U.S. Senate seat. I mean, the big plum, the one they all want. Now, I don't know. I understand the Cornyn people. I've been around them. They're the insiders. He's a D.C. man now. He's not anything to do with Texas. And, they're just there to protect their power and be in the room with the three top people in the Senate. And it's that kind of thing. But you've got to be getting beyond even the expected normal arrogance to not realize just with these numbers how really bad you flubbed it and what you did selling out Texas Republican voters, John Cornyn, in Washington. It's interesting. All right, my friends, thank you for joining us today on Pratton, Texas. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratton, Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock, tuned to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tuned to 96.1 FM Q Country.